Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. My voice is a little different, and yet it just hasn't made the progress I want it to. But you know something, this humidity weather, and then I got a runny nose. So all that kind of stuff adds to the problems I already had. But I am feeling a little stronger and want to try to do this broadcast live again for you. And we're just trusting that God will give me the strength to do it. And then also he'll give you the strength to listen to my voice the way it is at this period of time. I am a little slower at thinking because I'm not on any pain medicine right now, but I have what is called panic attacks. I've never had them before, but when you can't breathe, well, you kind of get that way, and I guess that's what I've been dealing with along with the idea of the weakness that I sense. But I'm glad to be coming your way. You tune me in by the way of WION. I 1430 AM or 92.7 FM over in the low Ada area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome each and every one of you. Others are tuning me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others are tuning me in by earsradio.com. I welcome you. Those that's listening by the way of my website, I welcome you as well. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of my broadcast. Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. She lives in Orleans, and so I just thank her for her faithful support. And Bill and Judy Hammond from the building area, I thank you for your support. And to Shiloh Community Church, that's where I pastored for 50 years. We went to the services the last 3 weeks, and that's been pretty good. Only can make it to one service, but that's we just take turns, different ones. Shiloh Community Service starts at Saturday evening at 6:30, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and Sunday morning at 10:45. And then we have a campus over in Greenville that we're still working with, and that service is at 11 o'clock. And a big thank you to Kay and Kingsinger for picking out my music. And what I probably do with the music is if I need a little break, I'll probably just play another song, okay? Well, as we get ready to start our message for this morning, I want to talk about something that's been big in my life, and that is to become a people person. The way I was raised and the speech impediment that I have, I was not a people person when God called me into the ministry. And I'll share that story with you as we get started with our message. The reason I would like to have you be a people person, I will share several reasons with you, and that's because God was a people person, and his son, the Lord Jesus, definitely was a people person. So we want to be a people person. I do, because of my relationship with God. It makes me fit in with what his teaching is, makes me fit in with what his personality was like. So we'll address that in a few moments, but I think first we'll play a song. And this song just tells us, you know, that people need the Lord. And because they need the Lord, they need to have the Lord the way he is and what he wants to do. So we'll listen to this song, and I'll be right back in a few minutes. God bless you.
Every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, and only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to take His life,
take His life,
to a world where wrong seems right. What would be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost?
Through His love our hearts can feel all the grief they bear.
They must hear the words of life. Only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord.
People need the Lord, and they do. I need Him. You need Him. And we need to know that He needs us. Not that God needs anything, but God does need us because He loves us. And that idea that God so loved the world, that idea of so loved the world, that little word so tells us how much He loves us. Well, I love doing this radio broadcast, and I want to keep doing it, so please bear with me a little bit. I love bringing a message to the listening audience, and I appreciate doing that so much. So let's just bow for a moment of prayer, and we want to remember our listening audience. Dear Father, as we come to You now, I pray that You would give me calmness in my heart as I try to share this message. I pray that You would bless the listening audience as they try to put up with my voice. And I pray that You will meet their every need according to Your divine will. Dear Father, we don't know what that need is, but we just pray for each person that's listening today. I want to pray for them as an individual, and I want to pray for them as a family, that you would meet their every need, that whatever it is, financial, spiritual, emotional, physical. I don't know what the need is, Father, but you do and they do. And I pray that you would meet that need according to your will. I pray you would come and honor your word. I pray that you would speak to our hearts in a special way about a time in society when so often we just think of ourselves and we don't think of others. And yet, God, your plan for mankind is to love God and to love others and to love ourselves. So we pray that that message will be driven home this morning in a special way that it might speak to each one of our hearts. Anybody in the listening audience that has an unspoken request, right now as they focus on what an unspoken request is, dear Father, I pray you would meet that need according to your will. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, as we think about our message for this morning, you know, I didn't trust Jesus and was not raised in a Christian family. I think I've shared it many times before. We didn't even have a Bible. When they was going to do something in school that required a Bible, I had to go to the library and rent out a Bible for that period of time. But to be a people person, and because of our relationship with God, and then to be a people person because I felt a call to be a pastor. And you know, something that was very meaningful to me, that God, for some reason, wanted me to become a pastor at 17 and a half, 18 years old. I was thinking, how could that be possible? Can I be honest with you? I don't even know what a pastor was. I didn't even know what his job would be like. Sure, it turned out to be different than I ever thought it would be. But what a blessing has been in my life. And I'm so glad that I pastored Shiloh Church for all of those years. Well, you know, one day when Jesus was putting together his 12 disciples, he was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two men, Peter and John. They were brothers. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I'm sure they said, we're fishers of fish. What is this idea of being a fisher of men? But they forsake their nets, and they followed him. He went further, and he saw two other brothers, and he called them. They were working with their dad. And you know, he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. I think it was the same message. Well, they forsook their nets, and they even forsook their dad. They said, Dad, you got to take over for a while. And they went following Jesus, and they became his disciple. So I need to take you back to time when I was about 15. And you know, I've mentioned this enough times that you know me. I was raised by a stepdad, but he didn't choose to tell me that he was my stepdad. And he was an alcoholic, and he also, when he drank, he'd be a mean person. Wasn't so mean when he wasn't drinking, but when he'd drink, he'd be a mean person. And he actually drank all day. And I started working with him when I was about 9, 10 years old. I was the gopher. Whatever he needed, he would send me for. And you know, one day he decided to leave. And he left my mom with 9 kids. And you know, he took off. Just going to do his own thing. And that was pretty sad that he was doing that. But you know, as we think about it, it was what meant to be. Well, at 15, that's how old I was. I had to quit school because I worked for a farmer in the summertime. He said he could use me all winter. So I quit school and went to work on the farm to help out with my money. You know, my stepdad had told me I'd never amount to anything. And when you hear that a lot, then you think, well, I'm just added to it because I quit school. And then when I turned 18, we lived on James Street in Belding. My mom and I had bought a house together because all those other years we had rented a house. And we wanted one that we could call our own. So we had it wasn't a very good home, but it was took care of our needs that we had at that time. Well, I was home alone and a letter came in the mail. And it said, Kenneth Dale Bauer, 826 James Street. And I thought, you know, there's so much of this letter that is right. Kenneth Dale is right. Address is right. I'm going to open this letter. And so I decided to open it. When I opened it, it wasn't much of a surprise to me because I'd asked my mom many times, do I belong in this family? And she would always make some excuse. Let me know, I belong in this family. Well, anyway, that letter was from my biological dad. He said, you're 18 now, you can make your own decisions. He said, I don't know if you want to get to know me or don't want to get to know me, but I'd like to get to know you. Don't have any other children, so I'd like to get to know you and your sister. Well, my sister didn't really think she wanted to get to know him, but as time went on, I got to tell you, when my mom came home, we had quite a conversation. And, you know, we come to understand that I didn't blame her because when she went through the divorce, well, her family disowned her. And they just treated her as though she was dead. And that was very hard for her. At that time, we just started going to Green Corners Baptist Church. They're on 44. And I come to know the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. I came home one Sunday and I knelt beside the bed and told him I was sorry for the sin that I had committed. And I wanted him to forgive me. And I wanted Jesus' death to pay for my sin. Because that's what I was taught at the church. And I prayed the best I knew how, and Christ came into my life. And I knew that Christ came into my life. You know, that church at that time, they waited a few months before they baptized you. And they baptized me about 9 months later. And on the way to baptism, I prayed like I never prayed before. I prayed ahead of time. That God, if you're calling me to be a minister, then I want to have a plain, be able to talk plain. Kids always laughed at me in school, and I just didn't want people to laugh at me when I was preaching. Well, anyway, I got baptized, and God didn't change my voice. I was working in Mitchell Bentley factory at that time in Ionia. They were making Oldsmobile car bodies. And, you know, I was there and I met another young man. He told me there's a tent meeting going on over to Saranac. And I decided to go to that tent meeting. He wasn't able to go. And I went over there all by myself because I wanted to see the big tent. Anyway, that night the preacher preached on Moses. He said God called Moses to do a job. And Moses said, I can't do it because I can't talk plain. And God said, I'll help you. And so we realized that that's exactly what it was at that time. I said, well, Moses couldn't get away with it. I doubt that I can get away with it. And just the way it worked out, folks. I'd been at Mitchell-Bentley for about 5 years. I was a crew leader, and I enjoyed my job. And a fellow came to me that attended Green Corners Church as well. He said, I'm going to quit my job. I'm a milkman. I'm going to quit my job, and I believe that job would help you to talk plainer. So he said to me, I want you to see about hiring over there. Well, I thought, I don't know, it may make force me to talk to people, that's for sure. You took the milk right in the house some places. You had to collect the money. You had to see people. So I decided to take the job. And it was during that job, the more I talked, and then they accepted me. Nobody ever laughed at me with my speech impediment. And all of a sudden, a lot of the fear of people and the fear of talking left me. And I even still had a speech impediment, but I just worked around it. I learned how to put a different word in a word that I couldn't explain or couldn't say. Well, anyway, that milkman job was meant to be. You know, when I went to that factory the next day or so, they said the superintendent wants to see you, whoever it was. And I went up front and they said, we're going to make you a foreman. And I said to him, well, I was just coming up to tell you I got to leave because I got a new job. I said, I'm going to be a pastor. And I'll never forget what he said. You're going to be a pastor? What do you want to waste your life for? And I thought, I'm not wasting my life. I'm going to try to help people believe in God. And you know, that was pretty special because it wasn't too long after that that God called me to Shiloh Community Church when I was 23 years old. And I really appreciate that opportunity that he gave to me as such a young person. And so Kendall, my one son, my wife Bev, and I went to Shiloh Community Church as a pastor. I didn't know exactly what that was all about, but I learned it as I went, and that was pretty special. So all of that I tell you to make you understand why we need to be a people person in our relationship with God. God had showed me that, and that was an important message for me, and I believe also it's an important message for you. I didn't mean to take that much time, but you know what? God so loved us that he gave his son. I remember one time when I was wondering if I was for sure if God would really want me. Somebody took that John 3:16 verse and 17 and they put it together this way for me. For God so loved Ken Harger that he gave his only begotten son. That if Ken Harger would believe in him, Ken Harger would not perish, but he would have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn Ken Harger, but God sent his son into the world that Ken Harger, through him, might be saved. And that helped me to personalize it. And then I also, one of my favorite verses, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness of shadow of turning. Of his own will he begat us from the word of God. And then he goes on to say that of all of God's creation, he said the people were his prized possessions. Can I say that again? Of all of God's creation, people was his prized possession. Jesus was a people person. God was deliberately letting us know that he loved us. And you know, he's telling us that we need to love him back. And we do love him because he first loved us. He tells us in Psalm 139, and I said, you know, God knows I got a speech impediment. God will just use that. Listen to what he says in Psalm 139. You were made all of the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me all together when I was in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderful complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know. You watched me as I was being formed putting me all together when I was in my mother's womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God, he knew me. And God knew that I had a speech impediment. So God was just reaching out to me as an individual. Then I learned that God often said in the Old Testament, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. And I was taught he is the God of Ken Harker. And that was pretty special. And then that thought of him being the one that said that the creation was his most prized possession when he made people. So I got to take a little break and we'll listen to a song. And I'll come back and share a few more reasons why we ought to be doing the things that God would have us do. And I just trust that the message will be an encouragement to you to be a people person. Here we go.
One day a traveler journeyed down the road to Jericho. He was beaten by some thieves and left to die. Teachers of religion and the law came near to where he lay, but the Levite and the priest just passed him by. He wondered if the God they served had a heart of stone. Does he walk on by whenever we're in pain? All at once he saw a stranger reaching out with love and kindness, who healed his wounds and put him on the right way.
Didn't need the law that would teach him right from wrong and how he'd sin. Religion couldn't help him mend the shattered, broken pieces back again. He was hoping for one person who would open up their heart and take the time. That I would show your light, but that Samaritan's heart would be mine.
I too was like that traveler who walked down the road of sin, wounded by the thief and left to die. I tried religion and the law, couldn't find my way. It seemed that hell would always pass me by. With the choices that I made in life, curse my soul forever. Could God forgive me of my past mistakes? All at once I saw a nail-scarred hand reach out with love and kindness. He healed my wounds and put me on the right way.
I didn't need the law that would teach me right from wrong and how I'd sin. Religion couldn't help me mend the shattered, broken pieces back again. I was hoping for one person who would open up their heart and take the time. Just like that Samaritan, Lord, I thank you that you did not pass me by.
There's a host of
that would teach them right from wrong and how they've sinned. Religion will not help them mend shattered, broken pieces back again. They just need one person who will open up their heart and take the time. Lord, grant that I would show your light, and that Samaritan's heart would be mine. Lord, grant that I would show your light, and that Samaritan's heart would be mine.
A good song. It's a good song about an individual that Jesus talked about. But before he did, a man came to him. Some other religious people had been there trying to trick Jesus. And then they were of one group of religious people. And Jesus shut them up by his teaching. And then the next group of religious people came, and one of them was a lawyer. And he stood up and he asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus figured that he would down Moses' law. And Jesus said, what did Moses teach you? Didn't he teach you to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul? And didn't he teach you to love your neighbor as yourself? That's the greatest commandment. That's the greatest commandment. And all the teachings of God hang on that commandment. All the teachings of God are reflected in that commandment. It's about loving God. It's about loving people. It's about loving yourself. Enough that you want to become what God wants you to become. And then he told the story of the Good Samaritan. The religious people, two different groups of religious people, the leaders themselves, they passed by on the other side of the road, that wounded man. Went on to do their religious things that they did and passed by. What was their ministry to do? And then came this Samaritan. They were called Samaritans because they were looked down upon. Some of them had married Jewish people, and that's one reason. But Jews didn't like the Samaritans. And to be honest, the Samaritans didn't like the Jews. And Jesus chose to tell that story, that the Samaritan was one that reached down to help him, and not only helped him with his wounds, but went the second mile, put him on his animal, took him to an inn, paid for his inn, gave the man some money to pay for his days when he had to leave, and then he said, whatever is left over, I'll take care of it when I come back. What a nice guy. What a nice guy to reach out and meet a need. Not just the immediate need, but the need of that next week or so. And that was pretty special. Then Jesus asked the question of that lawyer. Which one was neighborly? Was the religious people neighborly? And then he said, well, I suppose that Samaritan was neighbor. He was the one that was neighbor to that man. Jesus said, you've done right. Go and imitate that. Go and let that be a part of your life. I don't know if he did or not. But you know what I found out? This little statement I like. It says, we love others best when we love God most. Let me say that again. We love others best when we love God the most. The more that you love God, because of what he's done for you, the more love you show towards others, And that's true. That's a good statement. And one of the reasons why we should be a people person is because God says the commandment is what should lead us to do that. Because we are obeying the greatest commandment, which is to love God and to love people. And yes, to love yourself. Well, there's another thing that I think is important. And I think it's been one of my biggest challenges of my Christian life, especially as a pastor. And that's the realization that we ought to do it Jesus' way. And Jesus' way is the best way. And you know, one day, it has to do with Samaria again, that people that were down, looked down upon. Jesus was traveling through that area, and he said he must needs go through Samaria. Now, it doesn't say why he needed to go through Samaria, because he could have went around it. That's what most Jewish people did. But not Jesus. He's going right through the city, right through the area. And so he's on that journey. There was a well there that Jacob's family had built. And so Jesus stopped by the well. In the middle of the afternoon, so this lady would know, because she wasn't a very, very moral person. And so she would come to the water when no other ladies was there. Come to the well to get their water for the day. And she came to the well. And then what the Lord Jesus did. Now we need to watch him. We need to watch Jesus and see how he ministered. Then we can learn from Jesus how we should minister. So here comes this woman to the well. She's a Samaritan. Jesus is Jewish descent. Now we got to see, is this Jew going to talk to this woman? Is he going to minister to her? Or is he going to choose who he ministers to? And the woman came, and he simply said to her, give me a drink of water when you draw it. And she said, how come you're talking to me? The Jews don't talk to the Samaritans. And why are you a man talking to me, a woman? Jesus said, you know what? If you knew who I was, you could ask me, and I would give you living water. It would come right out of your life. Your life would be refreshed. Your life would have something to share with others instead of what you're doing. She said, I would like to have that living water so I wouldn't have to come here to draw water. It was a painful thing for her, especially when she came, if there were some women there, she'd wait till they left because they were always talking about her. Jesus said, well, I'll give it to you, but you go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you answered right. You don't have a husband. But you know what? You've had five husbands, and right now you're living with a man that you're not married to. She said, oh my goodness, this must be the Messiah. This must be the one that God said was going to come one day, and he would love all people. You see, those Samaritans were waiting for the Messiah to come too, because they knew that the love is going to be totally different than they had received from the religious people. And you know what? All of a sudden, she left her water pots, and she went to town. Meanwhile, the disciples had been in town. They had picked up some food they needed, and they came back and said, Jesus, eat some food. And Jesus said, I have food to eat that you know not of. They hadn't learned it yet. The food to eat was doing the will of the Father. That's why Jesus came. And that's why he talked to that woman. That woman had courage to go back to that town where all the people talked about her. She started gathering the people together and she says, come and see a man that's told me everything I did. And he still accepted me. You need to see him. He's the Messiah. And they started thinking about that and us women's being willing to share the message that she was sharing with them and wanted them to have a part of it. So they said, we kind of believe you. Now that wasn't the first time she's probably accepted by an audience. Most of the time they're talking about her behind her back. And they followed her out. And when they followed her out, that was something that was very special. Because they followed her out, and then Jesus stayed there 2 more days and preached the message to them. But before I leave this, I want to say something that was very special. Tuesday, the kids, Kendall and Julie, they live in Wisconsin. They came home Tuesday, and Kendall will be with us Thursday and Friday. But they came home Tuesday, and then their son, Luke, he's married, and they have a little baby. And Kendall's a grandpa. That makes me a great-grandpa. I'm a great-grandpa for the 11th time. Anyway, they came, and then another one of his sons was able to come. And so we had a house full. And then what we did, and I took a picture of it, they took a picture of it, and we have 4 generations of men. Kendall as a grandpa, me as a great-grandpa, Luke as a dad, and then the little baby, a boy, and so he's a 4th generation. And I gotta say, he's a guilty. He's a keeper, and that's what I heard all along that day, was he was a keeper, and how special that is. And I appreciate each one of my great-grandkids. I'll just take this moment to say to you, if you've got great-grandchildren, you need to know that you may not see them. My kids are scattered in about 8 different states, the grandkids, and so we don't get to see them as often as we would like to do. But you know, as we think about this woman coming there, and now she's got the whole city coming behind her to coming out to hear Jesus. What a difference that made in her life. That Jesus didn't condemn her. You know what, people? We're not sent to judge. I love it when they said that Jesus in John 3:17, Jesus didn't come to condemn the society. Jesus came to give life to the society. And he wants us to know that. He wants us to understand that and be a part of that. And so that's something that is very special. And by the way, as this woman was leading this whole city to Jesus, that's a picture of you and I leading somebody else to the same Jesus that you've come to know. She didn't know him very long, but she knew that he knew her, and he accepted her. And that's what you need to know, that God loves you and he accepts you. No matter what your life has been, he still loves you, and he cares for you, and he reaches out to you. So she came there. About that time, Jesus told the disciples, I believe with this great crowd of people walking towards him, Jesus said, look unto the field, for the white already unto harvest. Don't say you got 3 or 4 months. Be busy. And I think he was saying, be a people person. Don't be a religious person that's not touched by the feelings of others, but be a people person. And so Jesus started preaching to them. And I love the bottom line. The bottom line is he stayed there 2 more days in Samaria, a city that was looked down upon, a people that were looked down upon. And Jesus was preaching to the city. And many of them believe because of the woman. We'll see this Messiah. And then after they heard Jesus for a couple of days, can you imagine the things he taught them? We don't have all that in the scripture. It just said Jesus was teaching them. And that's something that was very special. Well, I think we need to understand that that's what God wants for each one of us. And pretty soon the bottom line was this. They said to the woman, first we believe because you said. And we could see you believed. He accepted you even though you had messed up your life. But now we've heard him for ourselves. And we believe because of who he is and what he's done for each one of us. And so we realize that that is something that is very special for us. And they said, now we believe him. And that is a good thing for you and I to realize that our job is just to get people to come to this one Jesus so they can taste and see that he is good. Well, I need to take a quick glance at where my timing is. We still got time enough to continue on for a little while. And so I just pray that God will be with us and continue the next part of the message. I'm going to give you one more reason why you should be a people person. And this is one that you're probably not going to want to hear in the day and age that we're a part of today. This is one that you're probably going to try to push on the back burner because it's not accepted real well today. But those of you I'm sharing it with, when you hear it, you will accept it. And you will say, I can do better at that. And that is to be a people person. The Apostle Paul, who was one who was trying to put Christians in jail, he had letters of authority. But when he met the Lord Jesus, he became a people person. And he really became a people person to Christians. He will one time persecuted the Christian, now preach the way of life of the Christian. And he started many churches and many of the little books that are in the New Testament was written by him as God told him the things to share. And you know what? That's pretty special. But I got to think of this man, Paul. Why did he become a people person or how did he become a people person? Listen to what it says. You know, all of this is to become more like Jesus. And it's God's plan. It's God's desire, which I've already shared with you in the past, for you to be more like Jesus, to be more of understanding of who he is and what he came to do for you as an individual. And that's what he wants us to know. Now listen to what it says. For though I am free from all men, yet I have made myself a servant unto all. Did you hear that? God set him free by giving him forgiveness of sin. But he said, I made myself a servant to all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jew I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jew. To them under the law I became like the Gentile, that I might be able to receive them under the law. Even though I'm not under the law, I've been set free by Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. And then he says, to the weak I became weak. That's the one that spoke to me the most, because I knew what it was to be weak. To be weak with God, to be weak with people. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some of them. Some of them will come to trust in Jesus. I do this for the gospel's sake. I do this because God has made me partaker with him, and he wants me to do that. That's the way Jesus lived his life, Paul is saying. And he wants me to do that as an individual. My time is almost getting up, so I need to wrap it up. You know what? Jesus is told about us in the book of Philippians, there's a little statement that we says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Even though he was equal with God, he was the second person of the Trinity. He is willing to empty himself of all of that, and is willing to become a human and dwell amongst us and give his life a sacrifice. God is saying, let that mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. And that's what he wants us to do, that we're not looking at just ourselves and what we're doing, but we're looking up at the Lord Jesus and what he wants us to do as we have a time with him. It says, I like this here, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants for you, and that's what God wants for me. Well, my voice is getting running out, and I think we're about time to listen to this song. But I would encourage you, be a people person, because Jesus is a people person. And God wants you to reach out to people. We did it all those years, and people have reached back to us. I can't tell you how much people have reached back to us and given to us as I've been going through this difficult time. So many ways of love that they've reached out to us. So I got this song I want us to listen to as we close. And as we close and I go on my way, I trust you go on your way to be a people person. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you.
Dear little blessed Savior, calling the oppressed, oh ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly, come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Are you disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care? Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus, he will give you rest. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly, come and trust my mind.
My burden's light.